I have some very good news. Anybody got any good news? I have some real good news. I serve a living Savior. Amen. I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm washed. I know where I'm going when I pass away. I have His word on it. Amen. That's some really good news this morning. Yes, sir. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. What we, the weeks prior we had talked about. Let's go to Hebrews 11. We'll use this as a springboard. We'll do a quick review and then we'll finally get into some aspects of Noah. All right, let's read Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 7. I'm going to read it slowly and just soak in a lot of the words of the Word of God and let it sink in. There's going to be things that jump out at you. Ask yourself, why does the Lord have it jump out to you and cling to it? Maybe perhaps we'll address some of those words throughout the Bible study. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. So prior weeks, if y'all remember, we talked about how to tell, how to know what a man believes. Remember that? How do you know what a man believes? How can you tell what he believes? Just off the top of my head, you can watch what he talks about, watch who he listens to, and you can watch his eyes, and you can watch how he carries his life. We also addressed a little bit about the lunacy of the theory of evolution. We just scratched at the surface of how vast knowledge we have of how fake that is. We only scratched at a few things. It has no foundation, the theory of evolution. It's not science. So we talked about that lunacy, and we talked about the mindset behind it. We talked about mockers and scorners. That's 2 Peter 3:2 through 9. We talked about how they became one, or how somebody could become one, a scorner, a mocker, a scoffer, to a fool, how to spot one. We talked about that. We talked about how to deal with one, basically how to deal with a fool. That's Proverbs 26, a mocker, a scoffer, a scorner, basically they're fools. So we talked about how to deal with one, and at what point do you deal with one? Sometimes you just got to leave it alone. They won't listen. Other times you do have to address it and shut it down. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Turn to Genesis 6, and now we can talk about Noah. Let's read a little bit about Noah. Genesis chapter 6. All right. We'll read from verse 5 to 14. Genesis 6, 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. So we talk about Noah and his key attributes this morning. What we can learn from Noah. And, it's in verse 8, just to start. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Throughout this, like I did before, I ask you questions. I ask myself questions all the time. You call me an analyzer? Yeah, I do analyze. Why do I do this? Why is he doing that? I learned a lot of time by watching fellas on the job, and they get aggravated because there's too much pressure on them. And I try not to be that pressure until it's time for me to delegate pressure, and guess what? That's on you. If I have learned, and it took me a long time, probably too late, because some of this probably disappeared because I didn't know how to handle pressure. But I try to delegate the pressure where it needs to go. The song said, I must tell Jesus. Did you pick up on that? Amen. My burdens I cannot bear alone. So if you don't want to be bald, tell them to him. Okay? Because if you're sitting there trying to take your own, you're just in a little tailspin. No, you have to tell Jesus. That's the hymn we spoke earlier. And like I said, who else are you going to tell? Muhammad's not going to respond to you, and you know all the preaching on that. Buddha's not going to respond to you. They're still in the grave, but my Savior's still alive, and he's listening to me, and he will listen to you if you talk to him. It's a great thing we have in prayer is he's waiting for you to talk, and as you're praying, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I need to confess things. I need to tell him all these things. God wants you to, from your own mouth, he wants you to testify where you're at in your walk, where you're at in your life. I'm not going to say it's therapeutic. I don't like that word. I don't think that's a Bible word. But that's the way the Lord wants it set up. Pray without ceasing. All right. The other part in this, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's also said that about Moses. It said, God said to Moses, thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thy name. So I want to let you know, do you realize that God's watching? You're in the sight of God every moment, every day. He's watching you. He's watching your manner. So at this point, we're talking about Noah. God has watched his manner of life, and guess what? He approves of it. God approves of Noah's life. Earlier, it says in 5, God saw the wickedness of man. But then, the but in verse 8 is the swing. God sets his eyes on Noah. Why does he put his eyes on Noah? He's got all this wickedness. He puts his eyes on Noah because of what it says in verse 9. Noah was a just man, so his manner was just. It says Noah was perfect in his generations. That means his family history is complete. It's in order. There's no offense in his generations, in his he lacks offense to others. He's perfect in that regard. The other one is, Noah walked with God. When you're walking with someone, you're looking at what they're looking at. Sometimes you look at them. Well, how is he saying that? What's his facial expressions? In 7:1, the next chapter over, says the one, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So he's watching Noah. Noah's life, walking with God, is a result of what? What's it a result of? It's a result of Noah paying attention and applying to what he's been exposed to. Let me see. So what's he paying attention to? What do you pay attention to? You listening to Jeremy Camp? Puke. You know who Jeremy Camp is? It's puke. Oh, but he went through all this, and he did all this. Did he die for your sins? Did he die on the cross? You go off street preaching in front of a bar, what's the first thing they say? Jesus turned water into wine, and I usually said he also died on a cross. Are you going to do that? So I'd say that's a little plug. Stay away from contemporary Christian music that are drawing attention to themselves and their walk. Those hymns, it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Why? Because it draws attention back to the Word of God. It draws attention back to your Savior. It draws attention how wicked we are and how much we need Him, how much we need His grace. We need to be reminded of that. All right. Noah pays attention. These are just little bullet points as I go. Noah pays attention to those that are close to him. He pays attention to those that are close to him. He pays attention to Lamech, his father, in the chapter prior. It says, let's find out. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 in 2 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 27, and all the days of Methuselah were 960 and 9 years. And he died, and Lamech lived 180 in 2 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah. So that's his dad. But what's it say in that same verse? This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 590 years, 90 and 5 years, and begat sons and daughters. So it's in Scripture that Lamech knows the reason for his son's life. What knows a main premise of what Noah's supposed to do. Noah's supposed to be what? Noah's supposed to be a comfort to us. To who? To who? To man. To those that have fallen. So that comfort even extends to us. So we can find comfort in the life of Noah. Let's see. When you think about that word comfort, right away we're saying, oh, like when I get into a blanket, right? Comfortable. Well, comfort also means to fortify. F-O-R-T is in that word, to comfort. So Noah's supposed to fortify us. His life is supposed to strengthen us. It's to fortify us. What strengthens me? What strengthens you? What do you find strength in? Sometimes I tell my daughter that, just put a hymn on and watch how fast things change. Well, there's a slight little fortification to back to where my mind needs to be. Let's see, what else does it say? This same shall comfort us concerning our work. What was their work? The toil of our hands. Man, so God puts you to work whether you like it or not. This is a complete sidebar that dawned on me the other day. When you realize what AI is taking work out from what you're supposed to be doing. Think about that. It's supposed to take away from the curse. And there's no intelligence in that. For the 1 millionth time people ask me or I talk about that, it's pre-programmed. It's not intelligence. Somebody put all that in there, and then you're going to be guided by that. Right. It's like when the GPS tells me to go this route, and then I change it, and all of a sudden my arrival time is 8 minutes less. Why wouldn't you have picked that one? What is wrong with this thing? Or the other time it sends me on a toll road that I don't need to be on. Now I may gain 8 more minutes, but why would I spend the $12? But give me my 12 bucks, 8 minutes. I want to save the 12 bucks. Anyway, so what strengthens you? Noah was an example for his family to follow. He's a just example. It says he's perfect in his generations. And then if we can do a study on perfect, it's in Matthew 5:48. I tell you, I enjoy just taking a few. Guys would say, oh, it's a rabbit trail. Said the word, it's the word of God, I'm going to address it. I'm going to ask the book, what does that mean? When you read through chapter 5, It's talking about what? It's talking about how you carry yourself, how you treat others, how you act in situations. And at the very end, we can go, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, 45. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward ye have? Do ye not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God treats those folks perfect. He treats everybody complete, whole. He gives them all the opportunity of repentance. Go to James 3:2. James 3:2. They'll say to you, well, you're not perfect. Have you ever, how do you respond? Here's the one. When somebody says, well, you're not perfect, Omar. So why would, and I usually turn around, why would you say that? He goes, what do you mean? Why would you say that I'm not perfect? And they go, well, because you're not. Out of your mouth tells me what's in your heart. You're looking for perfection. And I will point you to the perfect one. Don't look at me. So you have just told me what's in your heart. You're looking for somebody perfect. And I'll tell you who he is. Because I'm not perfect. So out of their own mouth, they condemn themselves and use that on them. One guy at work one time told me, preachers, all they want is their money. Money's your God? What? It's only money. All that stuff's a distraction. Means your preacher, your religion's your money. I said, I don't give my money to the pastor, to the preacher. I give my money to who gave it to me. It's all his anyway. It's all his anyway. He gives me money. Lord, here, I just need to give this back to the church or give this to his work. I'm part of that work, so you're giving me the money. However little fruit I give, I'm a profitable servant. Thank you for the money you give me. Give it right back to the service so then the other brethren can use it. So there's two. Don't know where they came from, but praise the Lord. You're not perfect. My Savior is. You're looking for one. All right, I think it's James 3. Let me see where that one is. I cross-reference. James 3, 2. If any man, wrong verse, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That perfection has to do with how you treat others and able to bridle the whole body. You want to be perfect? Control yourself. Control yourself. So Noah is an example for us, back to Genesis 6. This shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. I know there's still a curse in effect. I go to work every day and we're on this floor and I am sweating like crazy because we took the air handler out of the floor. It's the seventh floor in a building and there's the curse. I got to work and sweat about it. Whose example do you follow? Whose example do I follow? There's guys on the job, your job, my job. They know what you stand for. You'll see one Christian struggling, and I've been in that same part where I'm struggling, not wanting to lose my testimony. And maybe some other guy will come in and encourage me. Just keep going. And I'll sell that to one of the carpenters. Just keep going. After he just blew his testimony. Just keep going, bud. Just regroup and keep going. Let's see. I asked what strengthens you. Do you need some strength? Do I need some strength this morning? I do. We can see what the scripture says about Noah, and we can gain strength from Noah's example. We go to even farther. Let's go even farther. Noah pays attention to those before him, and he learns from them. Go to Genesis 5. 21. 19, Jared begats Enoch. Talks about Jared dying. 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So he's watching, he's listening to these stories of those before him. What do you listen to today? What do I listen to? Who do you learn from? He's learning from the story of Enoch. Moses learned from Noah. Noah learned from Enoch. They're walking with God. They're listening to God. They're finding grace in God's sight. That one part, you ask yourself, I go through these things. I can point to a few in my life. You get to a certain point, you think it's done. And then it turns. Read that. I just caught this the other day. And Enoch walked with God. He begat Methuselah 300. That's not what it says. It says, Enoch walked with God, what? After he begat Methuselah. So after he gives, sometimes it takes your kids to straighten you out. Can I get an amen on that? I can testify to that. We weren't doing right years ago. We were Christians. We were listening to, oh, Lord have mercy. We were listening to Jeremy Camp. Oh, boy. We were as apostate as could get. And then my little girl's, look, I'm watching her do things, and then just the thumb of God comes, you're responsible for her. You're going to give an account for her. So we start seeking out a church, or I start listening and watching and stuff, and we wind up going to a Bible-believing church. So it says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Sometimes there's things that have to happen in our life for us to start walking right. So the same thing, things happen, things come up. How is God going to get the glory out of it? However much it hurts, however much it takes for me, how am I supposed to get right from this? How am I supposed to grow from this? Are we growing or are we shrinking? I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless perfect. And if I am, it's 1 second and it's gone. 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, and it's gone. If it's up to me, it's gone. And it is up to me whether I'm going to walk a good life and an example for him. Yeah, you say, well, Enoch didn't have it bad. Yeah, go to Jude. Watch this book just front to back. You know Enoch's found in the book of Jude? Oh. Well, what did Enoch have to endure? Watch. 12. These are spots in your feast of chariot. Well, no, 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that's what Enoch was preaching. Jude continues, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye that the words which were spoken before of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. So Enoch had to go up against some folks. He says he prophesied. Part of prophesying sometimes is preaching. Prophesying is what's the word say? What's the word of God say? And he's laying it down. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. You're not acting right? He's coming with 10,000 of his saints. He's laying it down. To do what? To execute judgment upon all. That's some good street preaching right there. and to convince all that are ungodly. I love how he used that ungodly three times to lay it down. So he didn't have it all hunky-dory. He had work to do. What's my work to do? What's your work to do? Okay. I'm talking about going back to Genesis. Noah learned that Enoch walked with God, and he wanted to mimic that. He learned that from, more than likely he learned that from Methuselah. More than likely he learned that from Lamech. More than likely he learned that from what perhaps Jared wrote, or how they passed down in their traditions and oral traditions what they said and what they did. And guess what? God took them. He walked with God so much, God took them. Maybe we need to walk with God more so God takes us out of what distracts us, out of what would want to preoccupy our mind. The battle's in my mind, I'll tell you that right now. The battle's in your mind. This is casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought that is against Christ. Paraphrase. Let's go to... So we'll read that. Noah puts forth the effort to find out what he ought to be. What is God's will for his life? What pleases God versus what pleases me? He puts forth the effort to pay attention to those before, to his dad Lamech, to Methuselah, to Enoch. Where is my effort this morning? Where's your effort this morning? Hopefully it's not too rough, but this is what we're going to study about from Noah about. How does it get to a point where he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord and he walks with God? That's what the church is for, right? What's the church for? The three things that we know for. Anybody want to take a crack at it? What's the function of the church?
Edifying
the saints. Evangelizing the lost. Yep, and exalting the Savior. Those are the three out there. Oh, man. You guys want to hear something funny if I can find it? This one brother who's in Hawaii, he gave this one to me. I can find it. He says to me, here he goes. The churches of today. So the three reasons for the church: evangelize the sinner, edify the saint, glorify the Savior, exalt the Savior. The churches of today, the Jeremy Camp churches, the contemporary churches, they're there to edify the sinner. They're there to edify the sinner. You're okay. Come in. You're okay. We'll put the rainbow flag outside the door. They are there to exalt the saint. What is that stupid book that guy wrote? The Purpose-Driven Life? Edify the saint. And then the other part is, what do they do with the Savior? They're there to evangelize the Savior. Edify the sinner, exalt the saint, evangelize the Savior. That's from a brother, his name is Brother Mark Mizuzawa. He came up with that. They're trying to change Jesus Christ. They're evangelizing the Savior. Well, that's not right. You need to convert to this. There's what Apostle Paul warned us about. Another Jesus. That's the backwards. What was that? There's a church in Gary or Hammond. It's called the Reverse Church. That's the title of it. The Reverse Church. So you must be sending people down than trying to implore them to go up? They're reverse? I got a few more minutes. We need the grace of God in our lives constantly. We need this grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord. We need that. You know by his walk that he's not paying attention to the world around him. When we read all that, the first thing in everybody's mind is, I live among that now. Isn't that true? It sounds like our country. It sounds like our world. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. I have a few guys that they restrain from all their cussing around me. And I'm eventually going to use that. Because that's yourself testifying that you know it's wrong. So pray for me. I got an opportunity. I'll close with this. I had an opportunity to speak to a gentleman. His name is Jay Gearson. He's a Jew. So in our household, we call him Jay the Jew. Jay the Jew. He owns a lumber yard in Illinois. And I haven't seen him in a while, but when I have an opportunity, I try to buy stuff from him. So I bought a piece that was extraordinary. I know he's got some really diverse lumber there. And so I go out of my way to go talk to him. Well, you can't go see Jay without having a religious conversation for an hour and a half. It won't happen. He's not, especially when he knows somebody reciprocate. So he'll beat up on the King James, and then I can give it a little bit back to him. All in good fellowship, if you will. And he'll drop the, well, when you convert to Judaism, and I say, well, when you convert to Jesus Christ, right back at him, you know. But I hear him, I'm listening to him, and this time he's actually letting me quote Ephesians. And let me quote, because usually he says, I don't know. I said, no, this is what it says. Be not filled with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he liked this. Oh, filled with the Spirit. I said, yeah. Trying to talk to him about what he asked me, something about liquor and all that. But anyway, that's how do we talk to others? So what's available to us? At what point can we display that grace? And so we ignore those that, we have to ignore those that won't accept it, the mockers, the scorners, but those that will, such as like this fellow, we need to engage them. We need to talk to folks about that. So we have Noah's ignoring the world, and he's keeping his focus on God. At one point, God focuses on the world. He says, that's enough of that. There's the fellow I want, and it's Noah. The Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's all I have for you this morning. Yeah.